Good Monday evening, everybody. Welcome to Kayak Fishing Radio, the Monday night kickoff show. I am your host, Charles Levi, also known as Redfish Chuck. I have a co-host with me tonight. My oldest son, Trey, is sitting on my lap joining me. So if you hear a two-year-old babbling off at the mouth, that would be him. But there was no way that he wasn't going to be in here to do the show with me tonight, so there you go. I also have Rob on the phone, Bad Batcast. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, how are you? I'm good.
Good, man. You getting ready to go up to the boondoggle or what?
Yeah, I'm finding all sorts of stuff, man. So I'm good. I'm getting everything ready, and we'll have everything solidified by Wednesday night and be off for the boondoggle Thursday morning.
So I'm good excited. Deal. Yeah, that should be fun. Tonight, we're going to talk about a couple different things. I'm going to hit a couple points. It's definitely not going to be the gripe session that it was last week. I'm over that. It's going to be, tonight's discussion will mainly be about fishing techniques and tactics to use as we get these cold fronts that are going to start happening now. We've had some really beautiful weather down here the last couple of days. It was down in the 60s in the morning over here on the coast, which was really nice. And there was little to no humidity at all throughout the day. I think the high today was like 82, so it was really, really nice. But yeah, so we'll talk about the transitional period that these fish are going to be going through from feeding on finfish and to crustaceans as the water starts to drop in temperature and so on and so forth. And we'll, you know, take your calls and talk about whatever else you guys want to talk about. Call in, as always, is 714-816-4727 if you want to chat, have any questions, or want to add to the conversation. Got another caller already in the queue. It's area code 757. Who do I have?
The landing crew. What's going on, Chuck?
What's going on, brother? How are you?
I'm stoked.
Stoked.
Yeah, striper season opens in 3 hours and 57 minutes, 34 seconds.
That's good stuff, man. So apparently you're probably either gearing up to go on the water or you're already sitting there waiting.
I'm waiting.
Yeah, figured. That's awesome, man.
There's McDonald's with the free Wi-Fi, so I'm sitting here. logging on to the chat room actually right now.
That's awesome, brother. Well, I appreciate you taking time out before your big day to call into the show and listen in, man. That's cool. And hopefully you get out there and jump all over those stripers.
Yeah, I'm hoping so too.
Rob, did you do any fishing this weekend?
Me? Yeah.
Well, hold on.
We were out
first,
yesterday.
How did you guys fare with the little cool down? Has it been pretty nice over there?
Oh my God, it was beautiful. 6:30, we're driving down towards the Gandy, and it was a brisk 54 degrees according to the bank time and temperature sign on the way there, and water temp 78, not bad. You know, however, even though I spotted some fish, some nice redfish, I got skunked again yesterday. So after two good weeks in a row, it just wasn't meant to be yesterday. My buddy Alan did catch a dink redfish, and that was the only fish of the day.
Oh, well. Again,
so yeah, it wasn't too good. I think it might have been too close to the cold front coming through or something. You know, ask any bass fisherman; it'll tell you. You know, if when you fish close to a cold front, sometimes the fish don't eat.
Right. Well, I mean, you got out on the water and it was beautiful out, so I mean, I guess you can't really complain about that.
Right. It was a beautiful day for it.
Yeah, man. So I did a little bit of fishing ditch fishing these last couple of days, and it's actually been pretty good. I caught a couple small tarpon, or a small tarpon, jumped a bunch of small tarpon. If I could hook every fish that took a fly, I'd be in business. I bet you I probably had at least, I don't even know, 200 strikes. I'm not even exaggerating. And it's like every time you throw the fly, one would hit it, and he'd miss it, and another one would hit it, miss it, and another one would hit it, miss it. And it was just like, it just blows your mind. Now, these fish aren't very big. They're only a couple inches long, to maybe 19 inches or so. But, man, it was just, it's still exciting to see it. Got another caller calling in real quick, the 863 area code.
What's me?
That's you. Who's you?
It's Bill.
Bill. What's up, Bill?
Not much. What's going on?
Chilling. Just talking about this nice little cool down that we've experienced the last couple of days and the lack of humidity that's come along with it. So.
Oh, yeah, it's nice.
Have you been able to get out on the water at all?
I was out Saturday and Sunday. And Saturday, it was a little windy. Started out windy, you know, but it turned out pretty good. We didn't catch anything notable. We caught a lot of fish, but they were all kind of small. It's funny that between the four of us, all the fish we caught were all multi-spot fish.
Really?
That was kind of weird. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Anywhere from 3 to 9 spots, you know, it just was crazy. But they were all about the same size. And as the tide turned, started coming in, we started seeing tailors. And the problem was then that when you got out of your kayak to try to wade up to them, you were pushing mullet out in front of you, and the mullet were just mowing them over. So, and well, then Sunday we went to a spot that we had the whole place to ourselves. Excuse me. And kind of slow, weren't really catching a lot. We were going to kind of wait for the, you know, same thing to happen, incoming tide. We had a mullet boat come in, start doing circles around us, and it was time to leave. So that was about it.
Oh, well, again, at least you got on the water as well. Small fish are better than no fish. And, you know, multi-spot fish always make my day. I don't know what it is, man. Anytime I catch a redfish at multiple spots, it's just a really cool kind of experience for me, and it doesn't happen very often. So, Salt Warrior said,
"Yeah, it was weird that we all caught them like that, you know."
Yeah,
it was definitely strange.
Yeah, Salt Warrior over here in the chat room said that a multi-spot fish means female fish is what a guide had told him in Venice. So that's interesting. I've never heard that before, but who knows? I got another caller calling in from the 918 area code.
That's Russ.
Hey, what's going on, buddy?
Nothing much. What's happening?
Nothing much, man. Just drooling over all the pictures you keep taking down there in Louisiana.
Yeah, I mean, it's not scenery like, you know, fishing on the flats, I'm sure, like you're used to, but it's muddy and dirty water, but there's fish everywhere.
That's pretty awesome. That's a recipe for a good day for sure.
We killed them the day before the front blew through. We pretty much, you know, we caught fish from daylight till we got tired of catching fish. So it was fun.
Wow. That's pretty awesome, dude. I can't wait to get down to Louisiana and do some of that. It's going to come one of these days, and I am going to leave the old spinner rod at home and just bust out the fly rod, because I've been told by a number of people that it's the most epic fly fishing you'll ever see in your entire life. So, you do any fly fishing, Russ?
No, I haven't started yet, but, you know, it's on my list of stuff to do. You know, I'm just kind of, you know, just kayaking with a hook and the pole right now. So
nice. Well, good deal. We got a whole gamut of folks now. We got all kinds of regions covered. People on the phone, people in the chat room. We got Aaron in the chat room. Mark Lozier's in the chat room. Godfather's in the chat room. Chip Gibson. JC's in the chat room, Landon Cruz on the phone and in the chat room. So yeah, this ditch fishing phenomenon that I'm going on and on about, and it has absolutely nothing to do with kayaks. It could, I guess I could probably throw a kayak in the ditch, but in the few ditches I've been fishing, it aren't, I don't think are really wide enough or would make much sense. I'd kind of like an idiot paddling down the side of the road. But the neatest thing that I'd ever seen happened to me and my buddy the other day. We were fishing in an area that's pretty well off the intercoastal. I mean, I'm talking probably a good mile or so off the intercoastal. It's a narrow little drainage ditch, and the current was coming out into the river from north of the from north where we were sitting. So it was kind of coming out of a freshwater pond slash marshy area down into the intercoastal, and my buddy was throwing a I think it was a Yuzuri, small little Yuzuri lip plug, just down the ditch looking for small tarpon, and he ended up hooking and landing a pretty nice little trout. I don't know, about 14 inches or so, but really fat. And I was surprised to see that trout so far up into this little ditch. I mean, I've seen other things. There's garfish swimming around. I've heard of guys catching a few small rat reds out of the ditch. But a trout, that was kind of new to me. And then right after he caught a trout, I caught a ladyfish on the fly in the same area. And then, you know, it was like miss, fish. And then I get like a trout. And then it was miss, hook up, and then lose the fish. So we got a couple of decent fish out of that ditch. We went back towards where our trucks are parked. And probably 15 yards from where my truck was parked, I ended up catching that little tarpon that I put on my Facebook page yesterday. Which is just like the coolest thing in the world, and I haven't been catching any heat for catching small fish, but it is pretty cool when you get your hands on these little tiny tarpon, and they are exact replicas of the big ones. And I know it sounds dumb, but when you catch a rat redfish and you look at him and like really study him over, and then you catch a big 50 incher, the fish takes a different shape when they get bigger. Their heads kind of get goofy looking, and you know. The little tiny tarpon looks like he could be like the exact same fish as that 100-pounder as far as, you know, all of his characteristics, his eyes and all that kind of thing, his head shape and all that stuff. So it's kind of neat, man. And they jump like crazy, which, I mean, how can you beat that? So I caught, caught two trout and a ladyfish and the tarpon all on flies that I've tied. And that was really cool. And then today I went and ran around with the family and did some ditch fishing with the family. And I got, I don't know, probably 20-plus ladyfish on fly and a couple of really decent trout. And I posted a picture up of one of those trout on my Facebook page earlier today. And it's actually really, really cool-looking trout. He's almost gold color. He's... because he came out of that real tannic water. So that's pretty much my experience for the last couple of days, ditch fishing and kind of doing that thing. And, you know, just planning my next excursion. We did drive out to the lagoon and take a look around. The water's still pretty dirty. In fact, back in the one spot that I was hoping to maybe go to in the next couple of days, the water was basically like chocolate milk. And so that's not really going to work out for me. But, you know, the cool down's nice. I felt the water in the intercoastal, and it's definitely cooled down a bit. And there was still an abundance of finger mullet running around. So, you know, that's a good thing. Interesting, because usually by the time we get that first cool down, the mullet are almost gone out of our region. But looks like they might hang out for a little while. But Rob, what are some things that you like to do as the weather starts to cool off? Do you change up your tactics at all, or do you do basically the same thing?
It depends. I just try to check and see what works, and if it works, I stick with it. As far as presentation goes, you know, right now I'm still using a lot of DOA curly tails, but I did start throwing the gold dart or the Little John, as it's called. It's a kind of a soft plastic. It's kind of, I don't know, Mirror Lure makes it. It's kind of, it doesn't have any sort of a curly tail or a shad tail or a paddle tail or anything like that. It's just kind of just a straight piece of plastic curved towards the back end, and you just stick a jig head on it or, you know, rig it weedless. I was kind of forced into using that yesterday because all of my curly tails were getting chewed up. And so the week before, man, I'm not kidding you, I lost probably a dozen curly tails due to the fact that they were getting chewed up pretty bad. So they weren't chewing up the Little John. And it kind of has a cool little action. It's kind of erratic and kind of darts around. Kind of you can walk the dog with it underwater and stuff. So it's kind of a cool little lure. But as far as tactics go, presentation and everything else, I always use, different presentations. Just as if I know that I'm on fish and I'm casting and they don't like what I'm doing, I'll change it up.
Yeah.
If that answers your question.
Yeah, I mean, your target species, are they all the same? I mean, does it stay trout, redfish, that kind of thing? Or do you guys get any kind of influx of, say, like Spanish mackerel or something like that when the water cools off that you try and target?
Yeah, we don't usually get them in. I mean, I don't usually see them inside. If you want Spanish max, they'll be out, probably in a little bit more open water. Target species, I'm trying to think. Sheep's head are moving in right now, but they will be probably in about another couple of weeks. When the water cools down, I see tons of sheep's head and pretty decent sized ones for around here. Any other time of year, I don't usually see them too much. It's really weird because over here, it's fall and winter, and, you might see them in the springtime. But over on your coast, man, it seems, Dee was, catching those things all summer long, man. It's kind of weird.
Yeah, we have resident fish that never leave the intercoastal and, in and around the bridges and that kind of thing, they stay there. We got fish that are off the beach as well that hang out around the rocks and stuff just outside the breakers. Pretty much all year round. In fact, I know a few guys that go out there and actually spear them off the beach, the big, 5 to 10 pound nasties. So, yeah, that's interesting. Bill, since you're still on the same coast over there as Rob, do you do anything differently to target, say, those big ugly black drum that you get into and redfish and that kind of thing? And is there any other species that you tend to look forward to catching as the water cools?
Well, the drum, there's two different areas for those drum that I'll fish. Most of the ones we're catching, we're going up to Cedar Key, and we're catching them as they're taming or cruising. In Tampa Bay, you usually don't find them out on the flats. You'll find them around the bridges. We have three bridges that span the upper bay, and, well, actually four, and they're on all of those bridges. So you can go out and get on those, and you'll actually see them tailing along the bridge beams that hold the bridge up. On a high tide, they'll come to the surface to get at those fresh barnacles and what have you, and you'll actually see them tailing near the bridge beam. Now, in the springtime, all the big drum in the bay gather to spawn, and it's usually in one section of the bay that you'll see them, and there'll be thousands of them out there. This year they were a little closer for kayakers to get to. You could go out to them. It was a good paddle to get there. They were there. You had to fight off the boaters. It was a madhouse this year. So that's the deal with the red drum. The red drum up in Cedar Key will be up there. They're pretty much there all year long. When it gets a little colder, I'm not quite sure. They probably move out to some deeper water. I haven't been up there when it's been cold, so but they're there pretty much year round. Redfish. This time of year, start looking for that transition tide period where we're going to start getting low tides in the mornings. And, you know, we start getting into those negative tides. And what happens with the weather patterns is that we get a north wind that blows right straight down the bay, and it ends up pushing more water out than the tide. Couple those two together, and you get really low tides. So the fish have to move into potholes, pools, or deeper water. Now, on my side of the bay, the South Shore, we have a real unique feature. Is there is a sandbar that pretty much runs the entire length of Tampa Bay. So it starts way up in the upper bay, and this is just the South Shore, and runs all the way down to the Skyway Bridge. So as the water flushes out of the flats, and you're talking probably an area from the shoreline to that sandbar, probably, I think they said it was 2,500 yards or so. Some places it's bigger. That will all get exposed grass. And within those areas, there are little pockets, little pools. And you might go from calf-deep water to knee-deep water. And that knee-deep water, that pool will be loaded with fish because they're just hanging there waiting for the tide to come back in so they can move back into the deeper, you know, back into the backcountry or back onto the grass. The other thing, too, is that they will be staged on the outside of that sandbar where the water's a little deeper, and they'll stage in areas where there are little troughs in that sandbar that they know are there, and then they can swim back through those when the water comes up. All you have to do is look for a mullet. You find the mullet, and you can catch, you know, I've had days where you just catch redfish after redfish after redfish after redfish. This time of year, the big breeders come in from offshore, usually in the latter part of September, carried over into October. I haven't heard of any coming in this year, so I'm not quite sure if maybe they're running slow or, you know, just haven't heard of any big schools of big fish being caught. So,
Well, cool. That's a lot of good information, man. I appreciate that. I always find myself wishing I had a notepad and paper in front of me whenever you guys start talking, because there's a lot of stuff that goes on over there that doesn't happen over here. And I really, really want to get good at fishing both coasts, because I plan on spending some time over on that coast in the future. But Mark, still with me?
Yes, sir.
The cool down for you guys generally sparks off your striper bite, right?
Not necessarily. Our cool down pretty much signifies that it's, you know, time for stripers. It's time for the drum to exit the bay. The big, you know, breeders. You know, our major pelagics are cobia, the king mackerel. They leave. The black drum leave. They usually stay a little longer though. The flounders start to, you know, get bundled up in a big groups and start heading off. And yeah, the stripers are moving down. You know, that's the great thing about, you know, living here in Virginia Beach is we've got a funnel, or a Y connection from the bay stripers from up north coming down, and the Atlantic stripers coming down. They all bottleneck right off at Kipta Peak, which is a hop, skip, and a jump away from where I'm at right now. But yeah, right now, I mean, with this absolute cold snap we've had, I mean, 48 degrees was the low last night. and I'm already pulling up 51 degrees on my phone. So it's
nice.
You know, it's you know, it's cold. I've got my waders. I've got my sweatshirt. You know, it's going to be one of those nights where it's going to be cold enough that it's, you know, you sit there long enough, you're going to start to get cold, but you're catching fish, you're moving around, you're going to stay nice and toasty and, you know, not have a problem. But
yeah.
Was out earlier today and just was absolutely tearing up the stripers, absolutely tearing them up. You know, catch and release. And no, I was not fishing for them. I was fishing for speckled trout, quote, quote. And, you know, I hit two different spots, and each spot was producing, you know, big, you know, 25-inch stripers that were feeding on finger mullet. And I have never seen this many finger mullet in the past 2 years out here.
Oh, that's a good thing.
I mean, I hit a spot this morning that was, you know, the water was quivering. And this is a pretty large section of water, quivering with finger mullet. Just everywhere,
nice.
Big corn cobs all the way down to the fingers. And I was like, man. And they just weren't moving. They were just sitting in this pocket, just getting gorged on by stripers and blues and drum. It was just, and specks. It was awesome. But this cold snap's really going to turn the stripers on. It's going to, you know, bring, you know, start solidifying, getting the other species out, bringing the stripers down from New York and everything else, which has been a problem lately because it's been so warm, you know, all through September without any real cool down that all the stripers up north just haven't moved. They haven't needed to. The water temps haven't dropped. But this cold snap and this low front that came through now, they're starting to push really heavily from all my reports from, you know, Montauk and everything else.
Nice. Yeah. See there again. It's one of those times where, you know, if you guys are listening in now live or if you're going to listen to the podcast, a pen and paper is probably a good thing to have with you because you're getting information from some of the area's top fishermen for sure. And, you know, it's all good stuff, man. Good deal. Man, pouring the house around. I just had a crack the seal on another Key West Sunset Ale brought to you by the fine people at Florida Beer Company, the unofficial beer sponsor of the Redfish Chuck Show. Russ, I know you haven't been down in Louisiana very long, but have you been told that there's a change a cometh with the cold weather? Or... You still there, buddy? Nah, I guess not. That's right. He might just be, might have me on mute or something. Well, here on the Space Coast, man, it gets interesting this time of year. The slight cool downs definitely start the change in the fish's behavior. They've now suffered through 90 degree temperatures on the flats for months and months and months, and they're starting to feel those cooler water temperature is starting to kind of kick in. And while driving the dike roads today, I saw three or four nice big groups of redfish just plowing bait. So they're still feeding on finfish. I know some of our local guides over here are still catching fish on rather large plugs like the Rapala Glide and Wrap and some of the other bigger topwater plugs like the true large Zara Spook. So, yeah, pretty cool. And, you know, we get an influx of Spanish mackerel and bluefish in Port Canaveral where I work and where I like to play on occasion. And it's a really, really fun place to fish, as I've spoken about before. The opportunities to get out and do a little bit of beach fishing or just off the breakers is always there. I took the kids down to the beach today just to let them put the sand between their toes a little bit. And there was actually a kayaker out there today, and I was kind of surprised because it was a little rough today. But I don't know what all he was doing, what he was targeting. But I know there's been a lot of really big triple tail just off the breakers down here. you'll find them just kind of free swimming, unless you're fishing around the buoys, and then you can just, you know, target them around the buoys. We get the flounders that start pushing in this time of year. Big giant trout start feeding real heavy this time of year, kind of packing on the weight. And it's sad, but at the same time, it's worked out in my favor. The last couple of years with the freezes that we've had into the winter, you kind of get an idea of where some of these really, really big trout like to hang out, because in the wintertime they die. At least the last couple of winters they have. So the areas in which you find them floating is usually a pretty good indication of, hey, look, this is where these trout have been hanging out. And a lot of times they're in areas that you never thought to fish for big trout. And, I mean, I'm talking giants, 30-plus inch long fish. So, you know, that's definitely going to be on my radar this year as the weather starts to cool off. The flounder, of course, it's one of my favorite things to do. Some beach fishing a little bit. I'm going to try and get on some of them triple tail if I can while they're still around. But, you know, my big thing is downsizing. I start to downsize after the first good cold snap. And this isn't really a cold snap. It's a cool down that I've experienced over here. I mean, like I said, the 60s aren't cold enough to really bring it down to where they're starting to really transition and eating the crustaceans and stuff. But you should start to see that here shortly if you're living in the Central Florida area. At least over here on the East Coast, you'll notice that a lot of those fish will stop feeding on the pinfish, pigfish, croakers, mullet, and they'll start tuning into more of the crabs, the shrimp, hermit crabs, snails, baby horseshoe crabs. I've even caught redfish and filleted redfish that had small little seahorses in their belly. So, you know, they're not opposed to eating anything that moves in the grass. But, Russ, do I have you back, bud?
Yeah, I'm back.
All right, cool. Has anybody told you about any kind of changes that are coming with the cool weather in Louisiana, or is that something that you've already had dialed in?
Yeah, well, you know, we had that day on Friday, the day before we got cold, and then we fished Saturday and Sunday and didn't really do any good at all, so they just kind of... I mean, we could see the fish, but they wouldn't bite anything, you know. This Friday, there was just it was just crazy. And then Saturday and Sunday, it totally turned off. So it was windy as could be, too. So.
Yeah. I got a buddy of mine who went down there, not in a kayak on a flats boat, but he did a short film with a guy. My buddy's name is Derek Redwine, and he did a film with Sam Root from Salty Shores. A lot of you guys might know Sam through Salty Shores or through his photography or his videography. I mean, the guy's basically a living legend when it comes to that kind of stuff. And they did a fly fishing film, kind of a collaboration. Whoa, spit it out. On fishing back up in the marsh in Louisiana during the wintertime. You could tell it was cold. They're all bundled up. They got their masks on and big heavy jackets on. And they caught a bunch of really nice redfish, but they did get one big pig, black drum on fly during the winter. So it looks like the fishing was still pretty good. At least that's what I've heard.
Yeah, that's what I have to say. Yeah, everybody's just saying that it's supposed to, you know, it's supposed to be really good fishing this year round down here. You know,
yeah,
so.
That's killer. Bill, were you trying to say something?
No, it's Rob.
Rob.
Was that movie Red December or something like that?
Yeah, I don't remember if he actually named it something. I just saw it on his Salty Shores website, and Derek had it posted once before. And as of late, it's been playing on Boldwater TV at all your favorite locations that have Boldwater TV. It's really cool. If you just look, I mean, go to Sam's. Salty Shores website, I'm sure it's still on there. There was another place where I kept finding it too. I just can't remember where it is right now. Probably YouTube or something, but
yeah, I don't see it on YouTube, so I won't check out Salty Shores if I can find it.
Yeah. It was actually really cool. I mean, the footage itself is just, like I say, it's phenomenal. And the cool thing about what Sam and those guys are doing is he doesn't just film with, say, a Canon or an Nikon or this or that. He uses like all kinds of stuff. It seems like he is the trial and error person for those of us that wish to get into it a little bit. Wouldn't you say that, Bill?
Yeah, you got a lot of toys.
a lot of toys. But he also has a video. I'm not going to talk about Sam all night long, but he also has a video he just did, which is definitely worthy of taking a look at, where he was actually jabbed by a swordfish. He jumped in the water with a swordfish to get some pictures and video of it, and didn't realize the fish was foul hooked, which means the angler has really no control over where the fish goes. It charged him once, hit his camera one time, and busted his bill down, which, you know, kind of snubbed it off. And then it charged him again and hit him in the ribs or somewhere in the solar plex. And you can see it all in the video. It's kind of crazy. But, yeah, there you go. Cool weather, cool water, videos. Awesome. I don't know. I prefer to fish the wintertime. I know Rob's the opposite. Mr. DeVore hates the cold weather. But I prefer to fish the winter over the spring, summer, and fall. If I don't have to put waders on, then I'm really not too into it. And that's one of the reasons why I haven't been doing a whole lot of it. And I've been sticking to this ditch fishing thing. Just, you know, and that and the fact the water's so freaking dirty over here, it kind of makes it really tough to find fish, and I'm not a bait chunker, so it doesn't really work out for me too well. But let's see, what else?
Yeah, things, you know, people don't realize how far Venice is down, too. I mean, it's on the same latitude as, what, Ocala? I mean, it's just a little bit north of Tampa as far as the,
yeah,
you know, how far it comes down, you know, it's still down there.
Yeah, it's crazy how far south it truly is. Oh, I almost forgot. This Tuesday, October the 4th, at Mosquito Creek Outdoors, anybody who lives in Central Florida area, including you, Rob, I mean, I know you're leaving, but anybody that lives over that coast, if you get a chance, I know it's a bit of a drive, but drive over to Mosquito Creek Outdoors, and they've got a big Orlando Kayak Fishing Club meeting / seminar on how to take care of your rods and reels, reel maintenance. I believe it starts at, I don't know. I thought it started at like 6, but I could be wrong. But reel maintenance is definitely something that I will talk about on one of these shows, because I can't tell you how many people bring in reels to my shop for service that are just, I don't know. You almost have to wonder if they've literally buried them in the sand at the beach and forgot about them for a week and brought them back. We've cleaned reels out before that literally had like 10 or 15 cc's worth of sand in them. And that's a lot. I mean, I don't know, whatever. But yeah, there you go. Meeting Tuesday, October 4th, Mosquito Creek Outdoors. But so what else is new? Anybody got any fun stories or anything? Anything to add or anything going on? Nothing? Rob?
What's that?
You got anything going on? Any kind of fun stories you want to talk about?
Not really. Yesterday was kind of weird because I was wading. This is kind of funny. You know, I parked the kayak, and there's this section where I was fishing where it's kind of shallow, you know, it's about a foot deep. And I'm kind of wading, and, you know, it's just sand, you know, sand and mud and stuff like that. And back in, you know, a little ways through there is, you know, like these residential swimming pool sized, you know, like little holes, like, you know, might be 3 feet deep, you know, or 2 feet deep. And I'm thinking, you know, tide's going out and everything, and that might be the place to be, you know. So I'm working my way back there and throwing a chug bug and stuff, and you know, see movement out of the corner of my eye, and there goes a, you know, 25-inch redfish blasting off the, you know, blasting out of there. There goes another one, you know, and it was like I couldn't get a break. I couldn't. They saw me. They kept seeing me before I'd see them, you know. And they'd be history, but nothing was in the holes. And turn around and start working my way back to the kayak, and it's like the ground is moving under me, man. And it's like Stingray City all of a sudden. So it was kind of a precarious picking my way back to the kayak, you know, about 100 yards away, of course, you know. So that was sort of my funny story from yesterday.
Nice. Yeah, I haven't had any real entertaining or funny stories. My life's kind of boring right now. Mark Lozier, I know you're in the chat room, buddy. Here we go. Pen and paper. I'm going to give Mark Lozier all of my secret honey holes to fish from land or from a kayak down this way in the Titusville, like New Smyrna Beach kind of area. He's up there in St. Augustine, which is about an hour and a half, maybe close to two north of me. I don't have a whole lot of fishing experience up that way. Otherwise, I'd give you some spots closer. But if you are willing to travel, my friend, this would probably be a good time to jot down some notes. Everybody, actually, whoever wants to get over here and do some fishing. A lot of you know me that I don't have any secrets. I don't keep any secrets. Fishing spot's a fishing spot. You're going to fish there today. I'm going to go there tomorrow, and fish are going to be there. It's just the way it is. So, with that being said, if you come on down to the Mosquito Lagoon area and you don't have a kayak, Mark, don't worry about it. It's not a big deal. It's not the end of the world. There's a couple of places you can go and wade and do just fine. Biolab Boat Ramp is probably the best spot that I know of for wading in the Mosquito Lagoon, where it's relatively safe. When I say that, I mean you're always going to run into the chance of coming across gators and big giant stingrays and that kind of thing. The entire lagoon system is loaded with alligators, so don't be alarmed if you see one. But if you go down to State Road 3, you take US 1 all the way down to State Road 3, on down over the Holover Canal, and then on your left-hand side about 2 miles down, you'll see Biolab Boat Ramp. If you go down that road and you're waiting right before you get down to the opening, on your right-hand side, little cut through the trees, you'll see a little dirt path that goes back there. Some of us like to call it the Baja Run because dark 30 in the morning, we're usually driving like 15, 20 miles an hour down it, and there's potholes everywhere and swerves in and out of like mangrove shorelines and stuff, and it's kind of crazy. I think we almost lost Chip one time going down that thing, but Chip and Rob. But
is that the place with the ankle deep, like foul smelling?
Yeah.
You know, like decomposing grass. Oh,
yeah, man.
Oh, man.
Yeah, man. That's
that stuff was rank.
That's where it's at. But anyhow, go down there and just follow that road down. And any place that you see fit to pull off and just jump in the water and start wading around, you can do it. As we're getting these cool downs, those fish will be in there. The water right now is a little bit dirty, but I remember you saying that you're going to be here for the remainder of the year. So if that's the case, another couple of weeks, the water should really start cleaning up, and sight fishing will be a lot easier. You can get down there and do throw some topwater plugs first thing in the morning for big trout. The redfish will plow them too. You can throw cut bait if you want to. I'm pretty sure you said you're not a bait chucker, so we're not going to get into that. If you do decide you need a chunk bait, ladyfish and chunk mullet are probably your best bets. I wouldn't mess with shrimp too much. It's just one of those things. The pinfish in the lagoon system are pretty nasty, so shrimp usually don't last very long. But if you were to just wade that area down there, up and down that road, just kind of walk in, fish for a little while, you don't see much, jump back into the truck and drive on down a little bit, jump back out and start again. You'll make your way down to an area that we call the Sticks. Okay. The Sticks is basically a spot that's a bunch of broken off pylons that stick up out of the ground, and it's one of my favorite places to fish in the wintertime. You'll find that there's a little flat out in front of you. There's a bit of a trough that runs between you and the flat, and you know, if you're not worried about walking through, you know, waist deep to nipple deep water, you can make it over to that other side. You can walk down and around. It's a little soft getting back in there, but you'll see first thing in the morning there'll be tons of fish out there. That's a good spot. Again, it's called the Sticks, and that's on your left-hand side as you're driving down the road. You can't miss it. There's about 30 or 40 broken-off pylons there. What it is, it used to be an old fish camp, and the Mosquito Lagoon is loaded with old fish camps and old homesteads from over the years, until NASA came in and bought the property and turned the place into a wildlife sanctuary. And yeah, I got waders. Yeah, I got waders. Come on down, dude. You can borrow my waders. Anyway, they turned the place into a wildlife refuge and knocked down all the homesteads and tore down all the fish camps and so on and so forth. So the remnants of all that is all still out there at the lagoon, which also makes for good structure for catching big giant sheephead on the flats. Every now and again, you'll find a snook or a big trout hanging around those old broken down pylons. Another spot you can do, too, is... oh, no, you do? Okay, cool. Come on down. And... sorry, I'm trying to like read in the chat room and talk at the same time. I'm not multi-talented too well, so. But Biolab, it like I said, would be my number one choice. On the opposite side of the road, you've got a spot called the Boy Scout Camp. It doesn't say Boy Scout Camp. Us locals just know it as that. So right before you get down to Biolab, on your right-hand side, you'll see a little path that goes back in there, kind of an opening. And there's like a pavilion down there and stuff like that. You drive down to the end and park your car. You can get out and wade that area back in there as well. Again, it's a soft bottom, but that's where those fish are going to be as the water gets cold. That soft bottom holds a lot of heat, so it's definitely a place you want to check out. Great place to fish first thing in the morning for tailing redfish. I've caught fish as big as 40 inches back in there. A lot of smaller fish, a lot of rats, and a lot of small slot-sized fish, 18 to, say, 22, 23 inches. But every now and again, you get some giants in there as well. That's pretty much what I have for the south end of the lagoon. Those are my two favorite spots to hit. There's a dike road, which is where I was today. And it's on up the on up State Road 3, closer to where you'd get in on off of US 1. It's called Patilla Creek Drive. And Patilla Creek Drive is a pretty cool area. It's a, basically a dike road that runs for, I think it's a little over 2 or 3 miles, and it goes all the way up to the headwaters of the Indian River Lagoon system. So you've got saltwater marsh on one side. You've got the Indian River Lagoon on the other side. You can fish both. There's culvert pipes that connect the two. So redfish and trout and flounder and all kinds of crazy stuff gets in the saltwater marsh side, and a lot of folks don't fish it. That's why I was throwing the fly in today when I caught some trout and some ladyfish and stuff. There's great crabbing to be done there if you're into eating blue crabs. We have giant blue crabs here, so it's definitely something else you could be doing while you're fishing. Yeah, I got a lot more really, really good spots that are a little bit further south than that. But I'll tell you what, just give me a shout when we're off the air if there's anything else I can do for you as far as that goes. I'd really want you to just try and get a day off, Mark, so we can make a trip of it. You know, meet me down there at the lagoon, or I'll drive. We'll meet about halfway and just go explore something new or whatever. I got kayaks. I will travel. So, but anyway, that's the secret fishing spots for this Monday's edition of my show. I'll give out the rest of my secret fishing spots in another couple shows a little bit further south for the other locals that listen. But so what's going on? Bill, are you fishing this week at all, or are you going to fish this upcoming weekend?
No, just the weekend. I would really love to go. I have gone today, and tomorrow looks like the best days for us. You got an outgoing tide. The tide changes right at sunrise, and you got a major feeding period in that time frame tomorrow, and then it kind of tapers off Wednesday, but not for me. I'm working. I have to drive to Jacksonville tomorrow.
Oof. Bring a travel rod.
Yep. Well, I was hoping that the flood tides were still going on. I was going to get together with the owner of Slayer Inc., tackle and go fishing with him, but I missed it by a couple days. It's over, so.
Yeah, well, I'm with you. I've been dying to do that, man, for a long time. So maybe next time the flood tides happen again, we'll have to figure out a way to make it up to that. But I also need to get you over here, man. We need to do a trip over here.
Yeah, I'm working on it. I've got a pretty jam-packed schedule this month. I got to go to Utah the third week of the month, so that's kind of screwing me up.
Well, we'll make it happen. Rob.
Yes, sir?
Are you going to try and fish before you skedaddle?
I'm going to fish all right. But,
We're going to South Carolina.
That's right. Thank you, Howard. Yeah. So, I'm excited about it, man. It's going to be great. So, I probably won't go before the trip. It's just, you know, too much stuff with work and getting stuff together and all that stuff. So,
cool.
But I'm sure knowing the Boondoggles, you put together a couple of dawn to dusk fishing trips, and you know, by the time you get home, you're like, wow, man, that was awesome. I really did a lot of fishing, so it was great.
Yeah, it's funny. Yeah, you kind of get your fill of fishing for a week or two in one shot.
Nah, I never get my fill of fishing, man. You kidding me?
Oh, I do. Alex Myers is in the chat room. He's a good buddy of mine. Alex is actually an inshore guide of sorts. He takes small parties, like out in a pontoon boat, and catches them trout, redfish, that kind of thing. But what we've been talking about, me and Alex, is him setting up something where we can get some folks to do a mothership trip on one of their pontoon boats, because they have they've got a pontoon boat that has no seats in it. It's just basically just a deck. And I was telling him, you know, that might be something that might would want to look into for this area, would be to do some mothership trips in the intercoastal, you know, running people to areas you normally couldn't paddle to. So look for that to maybe be a possibility here shortly over here on the East Coast. I don't know. We'll see. And Alex, I forget the name of the company you work for. Forgive me if you don't mind posting it there in the chat room. I can give that out so guys can kind of keep in tune with what's going on, whether or not that's going to be a possibility here in the near future. But, I'm almost to my hour. Russ, you plan on doing any fishing this week or this upcoming weekend? I think Russ got me on mute again.
Yeah, I'm off mute now. Yeah, I'm going to the Boondoggle.
Well, damn. That's cool.
Yeah. So I'm pumped. I'm going to get my gear tight all day.
That's awesome, man. That's going to be a good trip.
Yeah. I got to pick up a puppy while I'm up there. I'm getting a Boykin Spaniel or a South Carolina duck dog, hunting dog.
Nice. Good deal. Nothing better than a fishing trip / picking up a new family member.
That's right.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. Well, good luck, man. Have a safe trip up there, and I hope that you guys slay some fish while you're there. That'd be awesome.
Oh yeah, yeah. We're gonna have a blast. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, I wish I could make that one. Mark. Mark, you still with me, buddy?
Yeah, I'm here.
And the crew.
Yeah, there. You hear me?
Yeah, I got you. What's your tactics tonight, man? How are you gonna bring home the King Daddy Striper?
I've got some hobies, and I've got some baits that I've been pouring that are similar to a hobie, I guess. You know, same plastic material, so they're really flexible and swim really nice. So I'm going to try them out, and if in doubt, I've got some gudgeons and some other stuff that I could throw out and just float behind. But this spot, you know, I'll be fishing Rudy Inlet, and everyone will be hitting the rocks and everything else. I'll be hitting the docks with lights on them. I know DeVore is probably going, woo, you know, dock fishing, yay. I've always had a lot of success catching stripers, especially in the very early of the season, doing that, and you know, it always works out. So see what happens.
Good deal. Well, man, again, I wish you a ton of luck and be safe out there. It's kind of crazy fishing at night. I know you guys do it all the time, but you know, let us know how you do. Of course, you will on your next show, which airs Wednesday night at 8 o'clock Eastern.
Thank you, sir.
No problem, Mr. Rob. You've got kind of an exciting couple of days leading up to the Boondoggle. I know you're flying in, then driving down and across the country and through the woods and over the hills. And you going to try and do any freshwater fishing while you're up that way?
It's always possible. There might be some time there for that. I'm not against it.
Are you bringing a buggy whip with
you? Remains to be seen. I do have a rod tube that one of my buddies lent me. However, due to size restrictions, I don't know if I can get it on the plane or not.
Right.
Not even checked baggage.
Yeah.
Well, it's a really weird formula. You have to, you know, it has to be this big, by that big, by that big, to even check it. And it can't weigh more than this. Carry the one, you know, put your little greater than sign next to it, and, you know, you catch a buzzer.
And if you're type O negative blood, you can't check it at all.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm kind of upset about it, because I really would like to take at least that, you know.
Yeah.
But
well, I'm sure you're going to have a blast, man. I'm really jealous.
I have a feeling I'll be in good hands, though. There's the good thing about this stuff is, you know, folks usually have a lot of extra gear laying around and stuff, so I'm not worried about it, man.
Good deal.
Besides, my little twig rods that I use probably wouldn't be able to handle a big redfish like that up there. Reels and stuff I'm fine on. It's the little rods, you know, I don't know if I could. Yeah, I'm definitely not rigged for a 50-inch redfish, I don't think.
Come on, man. You can catch a big redfish on light tackle. I do it all the time. Well, not all the time.
But I was talking to Chip, and he's really geeked up about the Boondoggle and everything. And I was asking him, you know, Chip, where else do you think that we could have Boondoggles, you know? And he was all jacked up about it and everything. And here, I got a soundbite for you, and he said this, you know. There he is, you know. So we're going boondoggling all over the place. So,
well, I'm going to let you guys go boondoggling South Dakota and Michigan. There ain't nothing up there for me, brother. But cold.
Come on, the Great Lakes are up there, man.
Yeah, come on now, don't you know. I'm not doing it, buddy. Yeah, ain't happening. Cool. Well, all of you guys that are going on the boondoggle, be safe. I want to hear good stories from, you know, whenever you guys get back, and pictures and such. I am jealous that I'm not going, and I should have probably planned better, because I probably could have got the time off to go. But, you know, what are you going to do? I do want to do a boondoggle in Virginia Beach, Kayak Kevin. I'd love to go to Virginia Beach and do some fishing. That'd be awesome.
Absolutely.
And get schooled by you guys up there. That'd be awesome. But I don't know. You know, I was thinking the Keys idea that we've been throwing around for a while. Yeah, aren't the Keys next? That's kind of, it's definitely got me interested. I think I'd like to do a Keys trip, or even an Everglades trip. Either way, whatever. We'll figure it out. But, all right. Well, it's 9 o'clock, folks. I am through. I've got flies to tie and ditches to hit in the morning. So appreciate it as always, you guys checking in with me and listening to me talk about all things fishing related, not just kayak fishing related, here on the east coast of Florida. Check out Rob's blog. It's Rob at a Bad Backcast. Rob, thanks for helping me out tonight. And again, good luck, buddy. Rob's show's tomorrow night at, you're doing your show still tomorrow, right?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Tomorrow night,
now,
8
coming
o'clock.
Back, I'm coming back next Tuesday, so that remains to be seen. I might either, one, have to have you log me in and I'll do the show from the plane, or I might have to get a special guest, clipboard carrying, pinch hitting Charlie Batch off the bench or something. but the deal is our clipboard carrying Charlie Batch is going to be at the Boondoggle, and he probably won't be home in time either to do the show. So either that, or we'll have a better, something like that. We'll sort something out.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. Whatever I can do to help out, buddy, I'm more than happy to do that.
You wouldn't mind doing a show. You could do a show 2 days in a row.
Yeah, no, that ain't gonna happen. Actually, next Monday I'm doing I'm hoping to be able to do a rigging seminar for the kayak fishing rigging seminar for the CFOA, the Central Florida Offshore Anglers Association, over in Orlando. So we'll see. I might be doing a remote from there. That'd be cool. There you go. Alex Myers, Brevard County River Mothership Trips with Captain Alex. Phone number, in case you want to do one of these river trips, is 1-866-657-7929. Ask for Alex. He's quite the accomplished fisherman, and I would trust him with my family to go out in the waters and do that kind of thing. So hit him up. He's good people. But that's it. That's all I got. Check me out at Facebook. If we're not friends, be my friend. I want to be your friend. ChucksKayakAdventures.com. And that's pretty much it. YakAngler.com for all things kayak fishing related, your ultimate kayak fishing resource. And that's all I have for this evening. Thank you very much for joining me again. And we shall talk next week. Trey and Logan, please sleep through the night. Good night.